I'd just seen how long I could keep silent for then.
I thought you guys were frozen. Bowen wasn't moving. And I saw Duff finally move, and I was like, okay. And then I had to check to make sure I was on the right Wi-Fi.
It's like when you're in like a negotiation, and they always say, never speak first. when there's a pause, and they're waiting for you to respond, just don't respond.
And then they just bring it down like 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, the awkwardness feel is like they have to say something. Do you know what I mean?
I'm the one that always falls, though, at the awkward moment. Like, I can't take it.
Well, we had an awkward moment on the weekend.
Negotiations, didn't we?
Negotiations, yeah. And I sent Bowen away, having known what was going to happen with Bowen. So what happened, Josh? We played around on the Friday, practice round, went to the hotel.
Where were we first? Where were we first?
At the Essex tournament. So, was in Colchester, and we booked we wanted a cheap room, but the cheapest one I could find was a Holiday Inn, which was like 160 odd quid, for me and Bowen. Because Simply Red were playing in Colchester on the Saturday night. So all the hotel prices were sky high. So we managed to book in there anyway. So we played the round. We went back to the hotel. We give them our name, and they went, no, we haven't got a booking for you. You sure it's the right one? And I was thinking, oh no, what have I booked? And I went on. It was a right hotel, right dates. And I was like, yeah, it's definitely here. And I showed them the email confirmation, and they brought the supervisor over, and they were looking on booking.com, which is where I booked it, and they could see it on there, but it wasn't on their system.
No.
And then the supervisor said, oh, the problem is we haven't got any, like said to a colleague, problem is we haven't got any spare rooms. And I was thinking, oh shit, what's going to happen here? So it was literally an hour and a half I was in the foyer for.
Jeez.
And we'd booked, because I had two rooms on our like booking. One was a double room and one was a twin room. Now, we had to, the compromise that they'd come back with was we had a double room for the first night each for both rooms, and then for the second night, a twin room for both nights. But it meant that one of me or Bowen would have to sleep on a sofa bed the first night, and then also we'd have to take all our stuff out of the room and put it all back into the new room and check in on the second day. And I was like, it's just not, it's pretty crap, really, isn't it? It's like, it's not very good. And Bowen was outside vaping, catching his bubble lung. And he come back in, and I was thinking, oh, piss off, Bowen, because I know what was going to happen. Bowen would go, ah, that's all right, Duff. I'll sleep on the sofa bed. Don't bother me. I'll sleep on the floor. And like, I'm thinking, yeah, that's gonna weaken our negotiations. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, just go outside, Bo. And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he knew himself that's what he'd say.
Yeah.
So he went outside, and I was politely just saying, like, it's not really that acceptable. And then they come back with free breakfast for both days for all four of us, 20 free drinks vouchers.
Damn.
And 50% off the room.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we did all right.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about writing a book on negotiations.
The old Ayatollah.
I would probably have done exactly what Bowen would have done, because I just want to make everything okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In the moment, I'm just like, it's fine. I'll take the hit.
That's what I was like. That's what I was like. I was like, oh, it's fine. I know it's not your fault. I'm really not moaning or anything, because it's clearly not your fault. It's just a problem with the system. It's just there's been a cock up, but equally it's not our fault, and I don't feel like we should be disadvantaged for it. And that's basically the line I went down. And I find in those situations, if you're polite and sort of courteous and like understanding of like not rude to the people and stuff, that it gets you so much more. And yeah. we did all right out of it. We didn't buy a drink at the hotel.
No, we didn't.
So
Wardy wasn't with you, was he?
he was, but he thought his and Gareth King's room had come with breakfast, and he was going to his room on the Friday, all like happy and like taking the mick out of us, and like, oh well, we'll have our breakfast tomorrow, it'd be lovely, blah blah blah. And then we went down to breakfast at 7 o'clock. And him and Gareth were in the queue just in front of us, and he got to the front. They gave him the room number, and he went, "Oh yeah, your room doesn't come with breakfast." And
me and Michael Cohen's
face was like the happiest people ever, because we didn't even have to say anything. It was just like, "I'll see you at the course." And
what you going to get at McDonald's? Oh, good. That's amazing. But I was just going to say, he would have taken all the drink tickets.
He stopped drinking. He don't drink anymore.
He stopped drinking now.
What?
I'll tell you what, Josh, he's lost. I don't know how many stone he said he lost. Two and a half stone, but he looks like a different man.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, he looks good for it.
He's a scrawny boy now.
That's what love will do.
Yeah. I just said to him, "Look, I'd have knocked you out before, but I'll definitely knock you out now."
Oh, man. Well, that's good. I mean, I think if I stopped drinking IPAs, like, every day, I'd probably drop a few.
Yeah, but you've got to enjoy life, I think. That's what I always think.
You're scrawny anyway as well, Josh.
Yeah, up here. Between, like, my legs and my arms, though, that's where it all gets stacked up.
That's the same with me. Like, if you actually look at my arms and my legs, they're not... They're bulky, but they're not fat. They're just... They're muscly.
Pure muscle.
But it's, like, just on my belly.
Yeah.
Muscly arms.
I feel like we have the same ancestors.
Yeah.
Slightly ginger. Kind of short.
Ugly looking.
Very good looking.
Look like being hit with a shovel.
Good sense of humours.
Yep.
Before we'll talk about the Essex in the actual show, but have you got anything to add before we start the show?
No, I say let's get going.
Yeah, let's start the show.
Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of In the Chains. And on the tee box tonight with me, as always, we have... Monsieur Joshua Birmingham.
Gunners are better than Liverpool.
Right. How do we remove him from the room? That should do it. And Monsieur Thomas Bowen.
Merci beaucoup. I think that's the right word.
What does merci? Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I suppose that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Just about.
I was thinking you said very good. But you hadn't.
No, it's Trey Bien.
So, yeah, Josh, the Gunners have won one game and yep. Liverpool's drawn a game, and you're running your mouth straight away. It's interesting.
I mean, we've basically won the cup.
As Paul Ulibarri would say, let's see how it plays out.
Okay, all right, fine.
It's the ideal time. They are above you.
Yeah, they are.
I got to get it in while I can. That's all.
But United lost as well, so it's not too bad a weekend.
Who did they lose to? Brighton.
Brighton.
I can't believe it, because Birmingham City are in the top half of the table for the first time in a year.
Bloody hell.
We're going to start off amazing, and then we'll fall off and not win a game for 40 games.
Have you still retired the shirt of Jude Bellingham when he was 17?
I imagine so, but he is class, isn't he?
He is a decent player, to be fair.
You'd have him 100%.
Well, we were looking at him in the summer, I think.
Exactly.
Right, so we are a disc golf podcast. We always start off with, what have we done? So we'll start with yourself, Josh, as mine and Bowen's is fairly similar and probably more extensive. What have you been up to the last week?
Well, my family has been visiting, as you all know, for months and
more
months.
More family?
Oh, how well, much have you got?
Oh, the same ones from last week?
Yeah, I had my aunt in town until last Saturday morning. She left at about 5 a.m. to go catch a flight, so...
You glad to get rid of her?
For reasons... Some reasons, yes. Some reasons, no. But the good reason is I got to play disc golf for the first time in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is very crucial as we're going to Worlds at the end of this week. But anyway, so yeah, I played disc golf Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and today. Plus I did 300 putts at the Common before I went to play today.
Nice. Bloody hell.
So,
was there any rust?
Yeah, yeah. I shot even at Croydon on the Friday night, and then I shot 3 under, and then I shot 6 under on Sunday. So knocking it off just in time, hopefully.
Yeah.
But it, I don't know.
Here's a question for you then, Josh, because you've been playing a lot longer than us. How long do you think you can go without in between playing before you start developing rust?
I was thinking about that, actually, and I feel like it's like you're digging a trench in the snow, right? But it's always snowing. And so as you're digging, it's getting deeper and deeper. But if you ever stop, it's just continuously building, right? Yeah. So it's a continuous dig. You can never stop. So anytime I stop, I feel like I'm building rust.
Why would you want to dig a trench in the snow? What's the reason for that?
For a metaphor for a disc golf podcast?
We'll just say you're digging out the... What do you, I guess it's
the
not
driveway.
The pavement. Yeah. Or the pavement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to call it a sidewalk, but you guys don't say sidewalk.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, it builds quickly for me, but mostly in the putting department. Like,
yeah.
For the most part, I can still throw pretty decently.
A couple of practice drives and you feel like you're relatively ready to go, but
yeah.
The putting's where you lose a lot of the, like your momentum.
Yeah, and then just the stamina in general, like after the first round back, I could feel it. I was a bit sore, but yeah, it's all gone now. We're ready.
I don't mean this in a big-headed way. I genuinely don't. But my arm and my shoulder never ever ache. I could literally play all day and my shoulder wouldn't ache. I wouldn't even feel tired.
It was my ankle, like my leg. I don't know, my plant foot, which is kind of weird because that usually doesn't happen. But yeah,
it's like I just get exhausted if I play all day, like physically drained.
Yeah. Fatigued.
But my arm never. A lot of people moan, "Oh, my arm's aching now, my shoulder's aching," or whatever. And I've never ever had.
But
that.
Equally, you only throw backhand, don't you? And like forehand puts a lot of stress on it.
A lot more strain. Yeah, it does.
If you get decent form, though, you should be able to do both for pretty good while, I would
Josh,
think.
Josh, I'm a low MA3, low MA4 player. I don't have decent form.
But you've also done like ball sports and things that you throw a good bit. So you've got those muscles are kind of built up, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you have to defend your bag tag on the weekend?
So I lost one like a while back.
Oh, okay. You kept that quiet.
Yeah, he did.
You were quite vocal in when you won one, but I don't remember you raising the point of you losing one.
To be fair, we were off for a couple of weeks, so, you know, and I haven't been playing. But
The snow was in the trench.
Snow was in the trench, but yeah, lost that.
Who to, or you prefer?
I'm not sure. At the moment, Connor has number one, but I can't remember if I gave it to him or I gave it to someone else and then he got it. But I had number two after that and then lost it. So now I have number 12.
Ooh, but that's a drop.
I've had two shots at it against Connor at number one. And both times, well, I tied him the first round, which means you don't get the tag. And then today we went tied into hole 18. He birdied, I bogeyed. But
are you trying to stick him with a rubbish low number? Is that what you're doing?
I mean, that's the point of a tag. But
what's the lowest? What's the highest?
The better.
Yeah. What's the highest number?
I think it's the Croydon Tags. I'm not sure how many members we have, but I would say either 70s or 80s.
You should lose. That's quite a lot of them. You should lose to one of them and then beat Connor.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I'll set it up, yeah.
Deliberate sabotage. Come do it. Try and arrange something after you come back from Team Worlds when you've played tons of golf. Give it a couple of days and go, oh, do you fancy having a round, Josh? Connor. And,
I'll get it back.
What's it called? Hustling?
Yeah.
Is that the right word? Yeah.
But then the issue you have is, if he plays you back, you're going to be stuck with 70, so it might be better to go and get, like, the number two tag, and then you don't lose out too much.
Well,
No. Play him, win it, and then say, oh, hiya, yeah, Blair. Silas isn't very well. I'll be back home now.
I mean, I think half of having a baby and just a significant other is just excuses to get out of anything you want.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what I'm going to do is get the number one tag back. I have the number one ace tag, and I just don't play those guys anymore, basically. Yeah. So I'll just do that.
That's the best way to do it. I'm currently number two in the interchange tags. So,
what number did I end up with?
8.
Okay.
8 out of 8. But as we're going to go into now, when Josh is going to ask us what we've been doing this weekend.
No, because hasn't he got to tell us about piddly little drive that he had?
Oh, I see. I'm glad you brought this up because I almost forgot. Not. So today, at the end of the round, we always throw off 18s, like basket platform, into the open field back towards the cafe. And I threw like the first 3 or 4 and I was like, man, I really want to hit that fence. I've never hit that fence. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to take a distance line, huge Anheuser with a PD2. And I didn't get it in the air. It basically was like 10 feet off the ground, but on a massive Anheuser. Just never hit the floor. And then at the end, kind of scooped back up. And then because everything's so dry and skippy, it probably skipped an extra 50 feet, went past the fence that I was talking about, and came within about 15 feet of hitting the cafe.
No, like, nice.
And then I measured it on U-Disc. 160 meters, 524 feet, but then I forgot to save it.
So it doesn't count.
Oh, gosh. Next time you're there, just pace that distance back out.
No, because that doesn't count.
I thought about doing that in the moment, but I had to go. And I was like, I took a picture of the disc by the cafe, and I was like, that's good enough.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's pretty good.
I feel like we must have had the wind at our backs because I've never done that.
That's almost like my massive throw that with the putter, with the popcorn. What was it, 90-odd metres?
I don't know. He keeps telling me it was like 99 metres or something.
Just say 100.
I crushed it. It
gets bigger every time, like a fish.
So just if I can do that with a putter, just imagine what sort of distance I'd be getting. If Josh can throw 160, I mean, everybody knows I'm a much bigger sort of thrower than him, so... I'd probably clear the cafe.
Honestly, though, I think obviously part of the skippiness and the dryness. But I said what I'm going to do is I'm going to stick my left arm down against my body because I still feel like I have a little bit of lag with that. Which, you know, whatever. I tried it, and I'm thinking that might give me a few extra feet.
Well, something to practice on the practice days at Team Worlds, isn't it?
Can you control it, though? Can you get the accuracy?
I mean, that's a wide open field, so I don't think I would ever try to throw that hard on a golf shot unless it was a wide open field.
They do say you should never throw 100% on the course, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. But after that interesting news, what'd you guys do?
Oh, thank you for asking, Josh.
Yeah.
We went and played Essex. So it was Bowen's first time playing the course at Essex. Yep. So should we start with that? How did you find it? What do you think of the course?
First time taking off a day of work for a tournament.
No, because I did for Scotland.
Oh, well, that's what you said.
When?
You said, I got Friday off to go to Essex. First time I've ever done that.
Did it when?
I will pull the text up, and it's the Amside cross in the Chains text.
No, it wouldn't have been that. It would have been that because I
because they said we all said how proud we were of you, and Rob said like you're slowly becoming a disc golfer.
You're reading into stuff. Oh, I'd never said that. The issue I had was I hadn't booked it off holiday. So I got back off holiday like 2 weeks ago, and on the Monday said, right, I need Friday off. I would never said that.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm looking at it.
I know you are. We got there, we had a round, scoped it out, scored 22 over. I thought, it's a real nice course, I thought. It was so, like, I don't know what it's been like before, but it was so skippy. It was unreal. Like, throwing your putts in, you had to be careful of, like, all sort. Basically, if you were throwing anything you were throwing, you had to throw it short. If you weren't putting, you had to throw it short because it was just going to skip past the basket.
Yeah,
and I've never experienced that, but like
nah,
I set myself the goal of 25 over per round during tournament conditions. First round, I hit 19 over, nice. which was the lowest in my, which was the worst in my division. I was in last place.
Okay.
Second round, I hit 17 over. So because I was in the Because I was bottom of MA3, they put me with random cards for the second and third round. So I went with some of the MA2 lads for round two. And, like, great group of lads. It was real.
They showed you the lines?
Well, that I actually made them play better because I had Blue Kim and Carl Heaton on my card.
Nice.
And they both had their best rounds of the weekend playing with me. Lloyd, one of the other lads on my card, had his best round of the weekend playing with me. Like, and then I, on the third round, so I scored 17 over on that round, which was an improvement. Still in last place, though, for the final day. And then the third round, I got put with the MPOs, so three MPOs. So I had Dom Hayden, who's a nice bloke.
Australian?
English, has lived in New Zealand for 20 New Zealand. Years.
That's right. He's an RPM sponsored guy.
Yes. Well, I don't know if he's sponsored, but he throws them. He's a good player. He's a real consistent good player. I had Dan Shelton on my card, who's a good all-round lad.
America.
Exactly. America. And then I had a lad who I thought was hilarious, who I've never encountered before, and that was Tom Stryker Wilshere.
Stryker!
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I love playing with that guy.
I don't know if he'll be listening, and this isn't meant in a bad way. He is off his rocker.
He just, it doesn't stop either.
No, it doesn't. He was brilliant. I thought he was brilliant.
He could be having the worst round ever and just be jokes the whole time.
He threw a putt that he missed and he just made a joke about it. Like, not, you'd expect, like, and he was disappointed that he missed. I thought I don't know if he's going to be annoyed here. He just made a joke about it and just laughed about it. Like,
yeah.
But, they all played fairly well, and I scored 12 over as well.
Nice.
In that round. And I feel like the more I played,
goal in half.
Well, I could have gotten, I know we say this about every single light round, and everyone says this. I could have easily took 10 shots off again.
Yeah.
Like, well, just by,
like, you just identifying the spots that you can fix is like the first thing, right? It's like,
yeah.
You know where you messed up, and it's an easy fix. So, you know, next time out, you'll be that much better.
I'm missing certain things that I know I need. So I need, like, a half-decent sort of putter turnover shot. And I need to get better at putting as well.
I feel like that is not a putter course. Like, not obviously they have some big holes out there, but you have to be able to throw some pretty straight lines out there.
Yes.
Yeah. But you were saying about the skippy stuff, that is like every course in the UK right now, because normally you aim for the pin and it just sticks in the grass wherever it is.
Yes.
And it's like everyone's game is having to like adjust now to
adjust,
that.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
is kind of cool, because now you're learning how to get ground play and how to use that to your advantage. And I think it's going to make, you know, people better in the long run, because we'll be able to get both.
Next year, when we have like biblical amounts of rain next summer, we'll all be playing for the skip and it'll just...
Yeah.
Tombstone into the ground.
No, Croydon, sorry to interrupt. Croydon got grass cut, I think, just for safety reasons, like for fire safety. And it is like skimmed, like all the way to the ground. So clean. You can throw rollers out there for the first time since, well, its existence, basically.
Have you been doing that?
Accidentally. But yeah. But no, that's awesome, man. From a goal of 25 to the last round being 12, and all three rounds under the goal. So that's...
And I didn't come last as well in MA3.
I did see that. I was following.
Yeah.
I was proud.
I quite enjoyed having sort of low grass, because I don't know if you remember when I sort of spoke about the Essex course last time, that... I love playing the course. That's one of the reasons why I went down and played tournament again this year. But one thing that did really frustrate me was the fact of on like hole 8 and hole 6, you can throw the disc into the middle of the fairway and still not find it, basically. You could be like a meter away from where you think it is and not be able to see it and stuff.
Kind of back down towards the water to the right.
That one. And like the really long par 4 that, like two holes after that, and it just makes it really difficult, especially like when you know definitely where it is and you just can't find it, and it's like in the middle of the fairway, and I just felt that was a bit crap. But that their hands are tied a bit like Croydon, that it has to be only be cut or it has to be left to grow and stuff like that because it's a nature reserve.
They're not allowed to trim back any trees either, are they?
No but like this year, because of the hot weather, it was all basically, it was like yellow, like hay colour.
Yeah.
And it was all crushed down. It was all like stamped down almost, and it didn't have any buoyancy to recover. So it was all like pushed down. So the discs were like dead easy to find, which that made it a lot easier. Then obviously, like you say, you had the ground play, which we never have, do we? Let's face it. You get a bit of skip and a bit of ground play at Manchester, I find. But other than that, there's not many other places that I've played where you can get sort of skip or anything like that. And so it was interesting to do.
I guess fairways.
I don't know.
Sometimes
I can't remember getting too much skip there. I might be wrong, but but other than that, we had a really good time. We had good laughs off the course and playing. I ended up 9 over for the three rounds, which put me in 5th spot. But I was I shot 8 over on the first round, and then I shot 1 under and evens.
Okay.
What
was that compared to your rating, I guess, for the weekend?
I think it was about 30 over my rating, I think.
All right.
I played pretty well. It's just I wasn't disappointed at the time after the first round. I thought, it was just an average round. I didn't think it was anything special, but I didn't think it was particularly bad for my sort of level. But I looked at the leaderboard and it was like 15th and out of like 33 something. I was like, jeez, I was expecting to be like 8th, something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, bloody hell. So and the next round, I just felt I didn't think I played that bad on the first round. It's just that's the score I got. And then I come back in after the second round, I was like, yeah, I played so much better then. I just couldn't miss a shot. I couldn't miss a line.
Was that when you had the Ricky outfit on?
Yes, all day that day, though. So I can't blame it on the first round, now.
Oh, you had it on? Okay, never mind.
Yeah, that's the issue. I'd love to have been able to say that. But yeah, so I played with, on the first round, which is pretty cool, I played with Dale, who you know, obviously, from the Sham side, Bubba, your boss, Gareth King, who we spoke about off air, and who's what part of the Army Disc Golf Society, and is just stuff with the BDGA as well. And we also had Tina Oakley.
Oh, Eric's, nice.
Eric's, well, be wife, wouldn't it, I suppose, if it's Tina Oakley. And she was really cool. We had a really good card that time and had a good laugh. And, it was really good. And I was talking to her about Vanessa, and she was, oh, Vanessa's really cool. She's one of my friends, blah, blah, blah. And Bubba asked her a photo at the end, and
she said no to it.
I said no. I don't own my own image rights. Upper Park own them. We had a photo, and I sent the photo to Vanessa and said, oh, just play with one of your friends, and sent her. And she said, oh, Tina's lovely, all this sort of stuff. So that was pretty cool.
What's she doing over here? She just for the tournament?
She come over to the European events with Eric. Okay. And then Eric went back and obviously played D-Glo. And is it Ledgestone next?
Yep.
Yeah, he's getting ready to play that. And in the meantime, she's just basically stopped off in the UK. And I don't know if she's doing some of Ireland as well. And she's got like a few friends scattered around. She's just going from friend to friend, effectively.
Yeah, she's just posted on the UK disc golf page. She'll be in London for the next couple of days. And if anybody wants to have a drink and talk discs, she'd love to hang out.
Are you going?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I mean, I'm busy. I got work the next 3 days.
Yeah.
And then I'm off, so.
But yeah, no, it was good. I actually ended up playing with Dale on all three cards. So that was good, because obviously he's not allowed out of Essex, is he? it was nice when we actually did get to see him, that we managed to play together all weekend.
Did you see him throw his elbow out?
Yes.
Yeah, is it his elbow? I thought it was his knee.
It's his elbow. He carried on throwing after. So, it can't have been that bad. I think he's putting it on, in all honesty. It's just after the sympathy card. But, he played well.
Did he beat you?
No, I beat him. On his home course, you know what I'm saying?
You're dragging it out. You've still got another round to talk about.
Yeah, and then I was fighting for the last spot of the finals, basically, because I went round on the last round. And I thought, I've done all right here. I think I could even have moved up into like third or something. But the top four played really well, and it ended up with between me and John Hood, who's like a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And so like we were like, I knew I had one shot on him, and he was on the card behind me. So we both had one hole left, and I thought if I par, he had to birdie the hole across the water. And I was like, that's a tough birdie to get. And I thought, all I've got to do is par this hole. And I threw a line underneath the tree branches. You know, the big tree?
Yeah.
I took the line underneath the tree branches, yeah. And, like, I creamed the line perfectly. I hadn't hit it all weekend. And it was like class shot. And it got me down, like, pretty close. A little chip up and put in. And a drop in sort of thing. So I took the par. But it's just like, it was a bit bittersweet, really. Do you know what I mean? Like beating, like knocking your mate out of like making the finals or whatever.
Yeah.
So we went to finals and I shot.
John,
I don't know what I shot in finals.
John, as he was saying that, he was just shaking his head no, like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
John knows me enough to know that isn't true. I don't know what I shot in finals, but it was pretty good. I went on a bit of a birdie run. Could have been even, something like that, through nine holes. I had three shots to get to fourth place and five shots to get to third. And I ended up tied fourth So I caught the lad up.
Nice.
And but there was some really good golf played. I mean, the lad who won, he was a local, lived next door to the course, effectively.
Yeah.
And it was only 820 odd rated, but he played that course about 300 times or something. And like it would have been very difficult for anybody to have beaten him, basically.
Yeah.
Are you missing some important information? Are you?
I was caddied for.
Thank you.
As well.
Thank you. I had to prompt him
by a good friend, that you know, Josh. And he did very well. He offered me water after every hole.
The one thing I was told was don't give him any disc choices. Just let him do what he wants to do.
Okay.
So I said to him,
don't do this, do that. If I need advice or after advice, I'd ask sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Because I didn't want to put any like doubts into my head if I wasn't sure on alignment. I felt like this was the best one, and then Bowen said, "Well, why don't you try that?" And it puts doubt in your head, then, doesn't it? And I was like, I'd rather not have that. So I mean, it's pretty unusual for me to. One, make it to finals. Two, have a caddy. So, but yeah, it was good. Played really well. I took like back to back birdies in finals, and played. I'm pretty pleased with how I played, to be honest, and ended up tied fourth. So, it's pretty good. We had a good weekend.
Yeah.
Nice. And I guess you probably played over your rating as well, I would assume.
Not by much. Like,
yeah.
I think I was like 780 instead of.
No, it's you were 30 over as well.
Yeah, but it's in like 774, 779, and I'm only 744. But I'm an 800 rated player, Josh. I just let myself. I was telling people this, like, if I have a bad round, if I'm playing bad, I just think, oh, I'm going to start messing around now, and I don't really give a shit. Like, so I think my rating is artificially lower than it should be. So I felt like I played to my rating at the weekend, not necessarily 30 points above.
I get that feeling.
So, yeah. But, yeah, it was. I'd like to say thanks to, as much as it pains me, thanks to Dale and Rob, because it was a class tournament, wasn't it, Duffy?
Yeah, it really, really was. It was well organised. And we had, for me, it was a perfect sort of, it was organized perfectly in terms of prizes because you had a players pack, but it just consisted of a sort of Z-line plastic disc graph disc with a custom stamp on, which is cool because everybody gets obviously a disc then, but it doesn't eat too much into the prize money, which the payout was pretty decent still. And I felt like it was a pretty good sort of ratio of players packed to prize so that everybody sort of felt like they got their money's worth. The trophy is really cool. Yeah, no, as much as it pains me to say, they put on a pretty good show.
And I wound Dale up both lunch times because he was busy trying to organise things and I was just waffling shit in his ear to try and wind him up as well. But they did really well. They were great hosts. We went out for food with them on the Saturday night and it was a good laugh. And I'd like to say thanks. Like, I've decided I'm a bit harsh on Amside. I'm not going to take the mick out of them anymore.
Well, just for this show.
I will continue to be taking the piss out of them. So
yeah.
Just so everybody's aware. Bowen's going soft in his old age.
Every friend needs that.
Yeah. That's what friendships are the best.
You can still be friends with them.
But when I was constantly doing it, I just thought, oh, maybe I'm pushing it a bit too far.
Nah. British friendships basically consist of taking the piss out of each other and being as horrible as you can.
Yeah.
That is how you become good friends in Britain.
Or break a person.
Or break a person. well added, Bowen. Awesome. Shall we? I think we've covered everything, haven't we? We'll crack on over to the news, but before that, we'll just have a quick word from our sponsor.
Since 2011, Upper Park Disc Golf has focused on disc golf bags and accessories with unique styles, innovative designs, and unmatched comfort. They use cutting-edge design techniques and durable outdoor materials with a lifetime guarantee, so you can focus on what really matters, keeping it in the chains. Whether you're a Bowen or a seasoned pro, Upper Park has the bag to fit your needs. Go to upperparkdiscgolf.com today and save 10% with our code INTHECHAINS10. Now back to the show.
Excellent. So, now over to...
Bowen's Fake News.
I'm ready. I didn't know what you're pausing for, so...
Just the same thing we pause for every week.
Yeah, but I thought I was going to get like a countdown or something, so... Was it the Mid-America, whatever it was, Silver Series on the weekend?
The Mid-America, whatever it was.
What was it? It was the Mid-America. What was it,
Mid-America, whatever it was, champion.
Open. Was it open or something? I don't know.
In Missouri.
Is that Mid-America?
Harmony Bins?
Don't ask me. I'll chop that bit off.
I always get confused because there's a really good course in Tennessee called Harmon Hills, but this was in Missouri at Harmony Bends, and it looks really hard. Did you guys watch any of it?
Nah, we're too busy having fun.
Was Whale Weekend, Josh?
Yeah. Well, my doubles partner and Georgia native won it, Alden Harris.
What do you mean, doubles partner?
I carried him, let's be honest. I won $250 playing doubles, he and I did together.
When?
It was...
About 15 years ago.
The summer of 2020, while I was back home over like lockdowns and stuff, so I was just playing disc golf like every day. So I was going to like these doubles tournaments and stuff like during the week.
Are you better than him?
I was on that day, but never again.
Okay.
That reminds me of the time when I carried Noah playing doubles.
It happens.
Yeah.
The same time me and Stan Valentine bounced off each other. And like played really well together. Like it wasn't we both did the jobs we had to do. There's no slagging the other teammate off. Like it was what it was. Exactly, ham and egg. That I don't know if you're just taking the mick out of me because I don't know what that saying is. But
they just go
you
together
could be
well.
Calling me. Yeah, exactly. So Alden Harris won, followed by Chris Clemens. Nice. And Gannon Burr in joint second. So it's always good to see Chris doing well because he's like a nice bloke.
I did see on one of the forums earlier that somebody was moaning. I think it was Drew Gibson again moaning about the pace of play. And the lead card was like finished like an hour after the chase card or something. I think he was just making a point of how long people must have been taking for shots. And then there was a few people saying about Gannon Burr there's like a meme about Gannon Burr taking forever. And
is that the Facebook request one? Have you seen that one?
No.
There's one that's someone's added Gannon Burr and it says, "I'm still waiting for him to accept my request." Like...
Apparently he made a good putt, but like it was somebody like timed it at like I don't know 1:40 or something ridiculous. It was just like took ages.
He is suspect, I will say.
Yeah.
Why? How do you get to that stage?
I think they need to eliminate chalk bags.
Yeah. No, I don't.
No.
I'm kidding. He just spends a lot of time throwing chalk in the air, and chalking his hand and chalking the disc and then putting it down and then picking it up and then chalking his hand and then chalking the air.
Josh, do you think with the pro players, like if it's a medium sort of windy day, are they waiting for a drop in the wind? Or do you think that doesn't necessarily bother them too much as long as the wind's consistent?
Yeah, I think if it's consistent, then yeah, it's good. But if they get a gust, they'll probably wait for it to kind of die down a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But everybody does that.
Yeah.
But it's...
not for a minute and 40 seconds, see, I don't know.
It was kind of cool in Europe when they had PDGA rules officials to call these things,
yeah,
instead of the players having to call them on each other. Because like we saw with Nico, it's like, if it's going to be that uncomfortable to call it, you're never going to call it.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you're going to get sucked out of your own head and your own game if he, like, you know, just trying to enforce the rules. So,
I know this is a topic that's gone over and over and over and over, but like, it seems to me like they've put the rule in. So, almost, and it should be just like common sense, just don't take the piss. Just, As long as you get to your shot and just throw it in a reasonable amount of time, like, it shouldn't really be pulled up. But, like, it feels like that. I can see why they've had to put the number on, because otherwise it would just be like, yeah, you're taking too long if they didn't like somebody. But, like, putting the 30 seconds on, it's like, well, do you do it for 31? If somebody's 31 seconds, you go, this disc was still in your hand after 31 seconds.
But, Duffy, how long do tournament? You know this as a tournament player. How long do tournaments take? And if you suddenly said to people have the idea in their head 30 seconds. You know roughly how long 30 seconds is. We're fairly fortunate that we haven't played with people who take far too long. But you know roughly how long 30 seconds is. If it's take as long as you want, people could be waiting around for 5 minutes and slow the entire, like, sort of tournament up. You've got to have a point where you say, right, 30 seconds. They don't care if they go 37, 41, but you need a point. You can't just say,
I know why it's there for. But it was interesting as well, on the same topic, Jeremy Colin put like a post out as well earlier. Did you see that one? And he was like some sort of rule changes that he would perhaps like to see come in. Yeah.
Or something like
What's that?
You just get two chances to say, all right, I'm taking an extension. And you can do that twice in a round. Up to like 15 seconds or something. But like...
okay.
I don't know. It's just making it more gray area. It's just like, I don't know. They just need rules officials on every card and then be done with it.
See, at my level, I just feel like it's very rare that I feel that I would even ever get close to the 30 seconds. It's like 95% of the shots, I know walking up to it what my shot is. And then I sort of pick the disc out, maybe do a practice shot, and then throw it. So it's like 10, 15 seconds. Like, it's very rare you're in a position where you're not really sure which way you want to go, or if you need to go to the right with a forehand or round on a turnover. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's very rare you're in a position like that.
It's really funny when someone takes like a minute and then they chuck it straight to the first tee in front of them. You just look at it and say, you could have done that in like 5 seconds. I'm just saying. But it does get annoying. And like I said, I don't want to be the one to call it.
Nah.
But, like, I don't know. It's just, it's a weird thing. They're going to have to address it.
It's the ongoing. It's the ongoing debate that's never going to be solved, isn't it?
If there's this much talk about it, they need to do something.
Nothing's going to get done. We'll be talking about it in 2 years' time and everyone being more bored than they are now.
Right, sorry, Bird. Carry on.
So, FPO was won by Sarah Hocum with Kat Mersch in second.
Sarah's in the top 10 FPO players.
Is she, what, that put her up into the top 10, did it?
No, she already was, remember? Oh, I'm sorry. It was just the trivia game we played. We missed that.
Well, I wish you would have played. I wish you'd have turned up for it instead of embarrassing us.
Oh, shut up. And Natalie Ryan and Jessica Weiss shared third place. So well done to all of those.
Excellent.
Sorry, just on my common theme of correcting you, Jessica.
Oh, it's Weiss. Oh, okay, you... I don't fucking care, Josh, to be honest. I'm like, what's his name from I just quoted the bloke from Tiger King. What's his name? Was it... Oh, what was his... Not Donnie. What was his name?
The main
Where
guy?
They're talking about... No, the one with the long blonde hair.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They're talking...
I know what you mean.
They're talking about Doc Antle's wives, and he just goes, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, he was the best one in Tiger King, I thought. I thought he was class.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Steve Renke. No, that weren't his name. Who was that one? Might have been Donnie. I can't remember.
It was... I know you mean, though.
But, yeah, you like a broken record, Josh, and it's really pissing me off, to be honest. So, like, just... I'm going to correct you again, because I'm always right.
Well, it's not Vice.
It don't fucking matter. Like, I'm never going to meet them. People get my fucking name wrong all the time, and I just leave them to it.
No respect.
No damn right. Jish.
Birmingham. I think this heat's getting to him.
I think so.
No. I do apologise. I'm very tired. I know. The problem is, over here, the name would be Vice.
That wouldn't.
Not Weiss. Yeah, it would.
It'd be Weiss, wouldn't it?
I'm spelling it differently than her actual name, but I was thinking Weiss. That's what I had in my head. Now, I know that's not how you spell it, but again, don't really care.
He doesn't care, Josh.
Because I'm about to fuck up everyone's names they played at the weekend, so...
Who you have actually met?
We'll go with the Essex Open. We'll start with MPO. No, actually, we're going to start with MA1. Because MPO can go last because it's not their tournament. Congratulations to Mitch Froming, who beat our Sammy, in a playoff, which was mightily unfair because they both played really well. And like they put the MPOs are playing the playoff on the same hole. And the MA1's through first, and they actually put the MPOs to shame, really. They played much better shots, like, didn't they, Duff?
Yeah.
I saw that on Instagram Live.
Yeah, the first shot by Mitch was... he threw, like, a forehand, and it ended up about 3 metres from the basket, and it's, like, so... that with 50, like, it's probably about... I reckon there's about 50 people watching. And going up, knowing that you've got to get it reasonably close because he's definitely got a birdie, takes some doing, and Sammy threw a backhand turnover, and he put his like 3 meters away from the basket, and so it was basically both birded, and then Parslow was up next. He went Parslow went first, and. He threw backhand turnover, but it didn't turn over enough. It just sort of come out, like, forward out of it a bit too... Didn't get the right angle on it. And it shot off to the left. And he left himself with, like...
Circle two?
Yeah, it was definitely circle two. I'd say about 15 metres, maybe. But he had, like, a tree branch in his way as well. It was pretty... You know, when you look at a putt and you think, it's going to be difficult to get that. And he had a good go at it, but didn't make it. And then Daniel Adderley, was he the one who beat you in the British Champs, Josh?
Yeah, he beat me to get into the finals.
Yeah, that's right. I thought it was him. He threw his, like, great shot, but it landed on the cut bit of grass and shot through. And he had, like, probably edge of circle put back and hit on the right-hand side of the chains, but, like, the chains, like, grabbed it really well and, like, just pulled it in sort of thing, and that was that. And then, so went on to the second hole, and they both took pars. Both the drives weren't bad, but they weren't brilliant either, and they both had sort of similar distance to go up to the hole and took a par, and then it went back to hole one, and... And Mitch put his probably about 5 meters away, and Sammy's shot, he had the perfect angle on it, but he just didn't give it enough. And it sort of caught up in the top of the grass a little bit, and it slowed it down and left himself with, like, I don't know. It was a fair old putt, I'd say 25 meters maybe. To be honest, the putt wasn't probably as good as what he would have expected of himself either. He didn't really give it much of a chance, but it would have been almost impossible to have made it anyway. And then Mitch obviously put in for the win, but it was pretty good. I always like watching the better players play in situations like that. It's always quite entertaining, like, because you don't get to see him much really. But
yeah, I just kept thinking it's like kind of a sad ending for In the Chains and Ace.
Yeah,
in the playoffs, it was just like ah.
Yeah, neither got over the line.
Mitch is a nice guy, and so that was good for him. Played well.
Yeah, that's what
people were texting about it during, and they were just like, "Oh, they're going shot for shot. This is great."
That's what Sammy said. He said, "Like, wow." I lost to a nice chap. Is, do you know what I mean? It's like, it makes it worse if it's somebody that you don't like or something. But like, Sammy was like fully complimentary and was like a really nice bloke and stuff.
So. I mean, he's American as well, so he's golden.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Americans are the best.
You know it.
And sorry, I zoned out. Duffy was talking for that long.
So I think we're done with MPO already. And MA1.
No, we haven't. Well, sort of. I didn't want to do it. He ruined it because I didn't want to do MPO because it's not their tournament. So he screwed that up. Like, I'm in a mood with everyone today.
You are in a mood.
MA2 was won by Blue Kim with Terence Matthew in second and Carl Heaton in third. All pretty good players. Oh, yeah, I knew you'd be like that. Another, let me guess. American. FA2 was won by Terry Pospisilova with Rachel Island Jones, unfortunately not managing to finish because I think she injured her ankle.
Ow.
So that was a shame. MA3 was won by Dan Gent with Tom Riley in second and Toby Knight in third. Some idiot came in joint fourth with Johnny Taylor, but I think we've already discussed that. And then we had FA4, which was Christine Jars, I'm going to say, win that. So
it always makes me laugh when he goes, I'm going to say.
Yeah. In FPO, we had Catherine Lee Williams beating Tina Oakley.
I'm going to say. In
MPO, we had Daniel Moljerg Adderley.
I'm going to say.
Beating Matt Parslow and Ben March. So, well done to all of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was cool to see Lee Williams beat Tina because she was lower rated. And she's also on the Team GB team coming out this weekend. So, maybe that'll give her a nice confidence boost for the Worlds event.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Nice. No real results. There probably were other tournaments. There was an Arrow Valley one, which I'll get the results on next week, maybe. We've got some new discs being released. There's some new discs, not necessarily us having them, but there's some big discs coming out in the next week or so. We have a Castoplast first run disc being released some point this week, I think. Duff, is that correct?
Yeah, 15th.
The Gold.
And what's that called? The Gold.
Gold.
So, rumours are there are a lot less of these than the Rico X, so these might be a good one to store away and hide for a bit.
And a bit of a note, because obviously we received them today, and it's interesting, because obviously Castoplast got brought out by Trilogy or Latitude. And it's interesting.
Oh, they're going to be shit now.
Yeah, possibly, but they feel nice. They do feel nice. I'm looking at them, I feel like they are nicer. I don't know what it is, but they just look nicer than previous couple of mint runs that we've had. Because the last few mint runs have been a bit like, some have been dark, like really opaque. Some have been pretty translucent, and it's just like it doesn't seem like there's much consistency. Whereas these look like all the ones that we've got all look very similar.
Now the original cast is probably going to go up another 100 pounds per disc.
Probably. Yeah. But on the back, which is quite noticeable, because everybody goes by the sticker. You know the sticker on the back?
Yeah.
It's got the cast of sticker. It's got the weight on.
There's no
and
sticker.
It's got the number, which means something, I think, but I don't
the
know.
The disc was bought.
Yeah. It's no longer.
Get your words out,
mate. Yeah,
no,
I was trying to think
what
I was going to say because I'm looking at the back of it now, and it's got 22nd of the 7th, 26. So I was thinking, it can't be when it's born, but it could. The first bit
yes,
could
it
be
can.
Right.
Yeah, right. It's 2022,
yeah.
And it was 26th of
oh,
July.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've just done it backwards.
Fucking hell, it's not that hard to work
so,
out.
But they haven't got the sticker on anymore. It's got stamped the same way that Latitudes is stamped.
Maybe they're making these discs in the future and sending them back in time.
That's what I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking, Josh.
Time travel is real, by the way.
Yeah. We'll leave that for another session. But no, but I thought that was quite noticeable.
They've got some random numbers printed on that, stamped on the back that I don't know what they are.
No, just the fact that there's no, they're doing away with the stickers now by the looks of it, and they're going just.
Maybe
they
haven't, maybe
the
someone
discs.
Just peeled them off in the factory just to fuck with
maybe,
us. You don't
maybe.
Know.
But yeah, so they'll be live on the 15th, which will be what day?
Next Monday.
So
are we telling people we got them now? Because normally we keep that quiet.
Yeah, we've got them. I think we're going to decide that we're going to probably sell them on the Facebook group just because for runs when loads of people want a very small selection of discs, I feel like the Facebook group is a better way of doing it because it gives everybody a chance then, not just the people with the fastest internet. Everybody can put their name down first on the disc and whatever, and it just feels a bit fairer in my opinion. So, and that's how I would rather do it if I was on the other side. So we're gonna run it in the Facebook group, and anybody who wants one, good luck. They'll be out on Monday the 15th. I'm not sure what time off the top of my head, but we'll put a post out beforehand to let everybody know.
Josh, shall I do what Duffy's just said, but condense it to one sentence?
Piss off.
Castoplast have released a new disc. It's the Guild. It's out on the 15th. We have a few. We're going to sell them on the Facebook page.
Sign up now.
You've just wasted several minutes of my life.
Where to gold it?
Right, the next one that's being released is... me and Duffy have been talking about this, and we don't have a clue what's going on here, but it's the Signature Cloudbreaker, so looks like Discmania are trying to steal more money off of us.
It is kind of annoying, to be honest with you.
They piss me off, to be honest, Josh.
Because I want it, and that's the thing. It's like, it's hopefully a flippier run than the CB3s. But they just released the CB3s, and it's like, I just can't. I can't do it.
They didn't have swirly S-line for the CB3s, so I think this is an attempt to give people the old swirly.
Oh, God.
I don't know, it just feels...
feels wrong.
It feels like there's a new release that gets hyped and hyped up like every week, and to be honest, I just get sick of it. It's a bit Apple-like, like that sort of the hype train when a new product comes out. But it's like
Supreme.
But it's like constantly, and you're like,
here's the theory: they made the CB3s shit so they could sell all the CB3s at first because people are gonna want them because that's the next one out, and then they come out with this better one right after it. They're gonna be like, oh, those flip up better, so I'm gonna get one of those instead.
Josh, what annoys me is that. They've got S-line plastic because that's what like the Cloudbreaker 3s were made out of.
Exactly.
And this new Cloudbreaker is. So make stock discs
of S-line plastic. Why aren't they doing it? Why don't they focus on that first?
Because they're price gouging.
Because exactly. Because, that's what they're doing. But and like, it pisses me off.
How easy was it to get a swirly sort of S-line you just stock disc?
Drop a couple of pellets of different color in the same shit, and then there you go.
No, swirly. But I'm talking about years ago, how you couldn't just go out and get an S-line swirly Discmania disc in the first place, could you?
No, but I guess you still can't.
Swirly's been it's been reserved for like special edition discs, and yes, S-line and D-line and whatever, yes, I know.
I've got no objection to them making special edition discs. That doesn't bother me in the slightest. But I feel like if they can make S-line plastic now, and they've made C-line plastic discs, try and bring out, surely the first thing to do is to try and bring out the full range of Discmania molds.
S-line FD needs to come out now.
In the stock run discs. Before you start trying to bring out limited edition stuff.
Duffy. You can make £10 on every limited edition disc, or you can make £5 on every stock disc.
I'm fully aware.
What are you going to make?
I'm fully aware of that, which is why it pisses me off, because they are blatantly just trying to make as much money as possible at the expense of everybody who likes Discmania discs.
Isn't that what every company tries to do? I know we're not.
If they tried to make stock run discs and try and get as many of those out as possible, first of all,
you'd have people moaning where are the special edition ones.
But it would make the special edition ones more sought after, not just releasing one every week of the same stuff without even looking to bother to make stock discs.
Have you not thought that maybe they want everyone to have a special edition disc instead of just collectors?
No, they don't, because I didn't get one.
Didn't get what?
They're not available.
What ones?
The new Cloudbreaker.
They're coming out next week.
Oh, I got a photo from someone. They must have sneakily got one.
No, they were Discmania. They were the Triumph series, which is another scam.
Yeah.
Because it's the same disc, and they just stuck someone on the back and they charged.
They've just done this swirly one, and now they're going to have one for Eagle winning the European Open. I guarantee that, next week.
That's what it was. That's what the Triumph series was. So basically, they must have had all those the new Cloudbreaker creator series made, which is what you've seen. And then when Eagle won, they must have took a selection of those, stamped the back of it with a Triumph series for the win, and then sold those, but only on the Discmania's website.
Why is there an issue with that? The fans always ask for a Triumph disc. Like, I don't know. I think you're being a little bit too angry. I get it's annoying that from our point of view, like, we don't deal a lot with DM because it is hard work, like, as a shop dealing with them and not being able to order different discs. Like, every week they release a disc, so you have to get three separate orders, pay three lots of shipping. I can understand that. But from, like, a consumer point of view, I don't think it's that major, because a lot, maybe not over here, but a lot of the Americans ask for Triumph discs. They want the special edition discs. They're mad for it.
I'm just mad because I want it and I can't get it. And I'm not going to get it. But, yeah. I do want it. It probably flies better than the CV3s. But you know what? The C-Line DD3s fly amazing. So I'm just going to stick with those for now.
Well, Josh, I'll probably end up buying five and then I'll do you one at a decent rate. Yeah.
I'm still waiting on my Glow Rock.
I've got it. I'm ready. It's ready to send. It's right here now.
And it's Berg.
Look at that. What Berg?
I will never throw a Berg.
You're gonna send him a Berg to try out?
Was I actually? I can't.
Never gonna do it.
Do you want me to send this to your address?
Yeah.
You said you didn't want it. You don't need it. You got spares, but I will send
it
to you.
I've only got one of those.
Okay, I'll send it to you. Is there anything else that you need? Because I think you're being a little bit modest here. You've lost your whole bag. Is there any news on it?
No news, but I have filled out the paperwork to get a new visa. So I think when I leave the country on Sunday, I'm not going to have the new visa yet. So it means when I get back, they're either going to stamp me with a 30 days, you got to go. Or I think I can pay a one-time £150 fee and they'll let me back in.
Okay.
Even if your kid's here.
So you don't have your bag and you're, I think we need to get you a bag before World. So let's get, can people donate any discs?
I don't need any Frisbees from people. What I do want is a Pinch upper part bag. It's called the Pinch. If anyone has one laying around, I will buy it off of you. It's my favorite bag of all time. I need it.
You didn't lose your big bag then. You've got your big bag.
No, I still have the Rebel. But I've contacted Upper Park to see if they have any just laying around that they haven't sold, but I doubt they will. But there is a small chance that someone in the UK might have a Pinch. But once again, only 3 people listen to the show, so I'm not holding out any hope. But yeah.
And we've both got Rebels too.
So, yeah. So John, Steve, Andy, if you're listening. Right.
Wait, what about Condor as well. Yeah. He listens.
4 people. Right, okie doke. Perfect. So, should we end the show there?
I feel like I had something to say. Oh, I do have something to say. Sorry, bonus material. Yeah.
Go on.
Did Clash drop Nico?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
He's still... I was on the Instagram page the other day, and
advertising
he said
his discs.
This new disc, it's... what's it called? Something Honey? Wild Honey. It's a new driver.
Yeah.
And he chucked it, and he was like, Clash disc, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, maybe they didn't drop him.
It's interesting, isn't it? Gateway didn't, did they? They said they were going to enter an investigation, but never actually... they never actually went through with it. They never dropped him. But I believe that he's got, like, some sort of family or brother-in-law or something along those lines to do with Gateway.
His uncle.
Yes.
Apparently.
They're never going to drop
Clash
him, are they?
But put out a statement saying they didn't agree with him and they were done. And now he's still... maybe he's just trying to get back in the door. I don't know.
Or did he have the post scheduled?
I don't think so, because he's in Sweden on a course there, and everyone's commenting, oh, that's my local course in Sweden. Glad you're having a good time here in Sweden, blah, blah, blah.
All right. Don't know then.
Yeah, it's interesting. But that's all. That's the questions out there. Is Clash still a sponsor?
We'll find out. Okie doke.
Well, you've left me with more questions than answers there, Josh. Was that the idea?
Yeah, I need answers. That's the thing.
Right. So, we'll leave it there now then. All we're going to say is good luck for Team
Worlds. Good luck. Thank you.
Do it for Great Britain. You've got the whole nation on your shoulders.
If you don't win, we won't let you have a visa.
Well... I've already paid £70 to get the form going. I'm going to have to pay £150 to get back in the country. So maybe I'll start a GoFundMe. If we win the gold, will you guys contribute to my GoFundMe?
we'll try. We'll try.
All right. Well,
we'll see what we can do.
I appreciate that.
Right. So have a good one, Josh. And we'll see you soon. And we'll leave it there. So remember to keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains. Have a good one, Josh. Don't worry about you, Bo, and you'll be fine.
That's what I was thinking. But I think he meant we're staying in the country. Josh is going away.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant, you prat.
Still nasty, though, isn't it?
Bo needs a nap.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.